Welcome everybody to Birdwood United Church today, and you're very welcome to be here with us and to join in with us in this slightly different way. For those who aren't able to be here and to meet with us, it's been a pleasure to be able to put these out there for you so that if you're travelling or for those who are just unable to be with us now or feel that it's too much of a risk, that you might be able to share with us in learning from God's Word and being encouraged in your own reading of God's Word. And that's what we're going to do now, but before we do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be with us each and every time we open your Word, that each and every time we open it, we will hear you speaking to us, that always we might see new depths in your Word, new things we hadn't realized before, as we come to see in these pages where we belong, as we come to see in these pages who you are to us personally, as we come to realize your great love for us, spelled out in this great story from Genesis to Revelation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you at home to open your Bibles and to read just five little verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Just pause the video for a minute, look over those, and spend a bit of time reflecting on those, and then you can come back to the video afterwards. And as you would have noticed, our passage today is quite simply a prayer request, and it would have been something that would seem very familiar to you if you've ever supported any form of missionary or some ministry of that kind, where the missionaries that we support, they send us back reports about things that are going on, and usually tucked in somewhere in those reports are prayer requests, ways that we can pray to support them in their ministry that they're doing. And that's exactly what Paul has done here. You see, Paul is moving on now from the main part of the letter, the main reason that he was writing to them, which was to discuss the matters about the end times, about when Jesus was going to return. And we can sort of pick that up in the expression that in the NIV has been translated as for other matters. So Paul's now moving on from that main body of things that he was talking about just before to some other things that either the Thessalonians had asked him about or just other things that he wanted to say regardless. And so he sent them this prayer request and he asked them to pray for two things. In verse 1, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. So the first one was that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and that it would be honored, that it would be acknowledged by people believing that it was the word of God and treating it as such and listening to it. He's asked in the very literal sense of the word that he's used, that the gospel, the message of Jesus would run out before them. That's the word that he used. Let the word of the Lord, the message of the Lord run and be honored, just as it was with you. A picture of this message from God. And remember, in those days, messages didn't travel by text or by emails, but by messengers who carried them around. So this picture of the message of God running as these messengers take it out into the world as a matter of haste. May God's word spread among people with that sort of haste, for this is important news going out into the world. And then the second thing is that God would protect the missionaries spreading that word, Paul and Silas and Timothy and all of those who were with him in Corinth at this time, that they would be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. And we get it, if when we read the book of Acts, we can probably get a good sense of exactly which people Paul was talking about. We read from Acts 18, verse 12 to 15, while most of his stay in Corinth was peaceful, there was this incident. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So that whole incident, it ends quite well for Paul. The governor is just not interested in the charges that are brought against him. But this letter was quite likely written in the lead up to that time, in that time where the Jews that are mentioned there were uniting in their attack against him, but before it all kind of came to nothing in the governor's courts. And so we have this content of this great prayer that Paul has asked, and the content's not particularly groundbreaking. It's not really new stuff. What he's asking in praying that the word of the Lord might spread rapidly is that God's kingdom will come, that God's will be done. What he's asking for when he says, when he asks to be delivered from wicked and evil people sounds very similar to that other line from the Lord's Prayer, and deliver us from evil or from the evil one. And so this is nothing new that Paul is asking for prayer for, but it's still something very important. It's good things for Christians to pray for other Christians that are spreading the gospel, to pray for one another for the sake of the gospel. Because after all this, whether we're missionaries like Paul who have been sent around the world to plant churches and to encourage people to come to faith in Jesus, and then from those churches that he planted to then send out more missionaries into the world, or whether we are like those churches in Thessalonica that have stayed where we are but are still sharing the good news of Jesus, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. That through the way that we live, but also very importantly through our words, that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly. That's what we're here for. A big part of why God has shown us who he is and shown his love to us is so that we can tell other people about it, so that we can make him known just as he's made himself known to us. That's not always an easy thing with our unbelieving family and friends, but it's a huge part of why we're here. Why Paul said to live is Christ. There's still work that Christ has for us to do. So for the sake of the gospel, what we're called to live as gospel lives is to share the good news in our lives, in our example, in the way we go about our work and all our normal things that we do. That when we have the opportunity to share the word, our lives don't get in the way. That the word of the Lord may run from the Birdwood United Church into the community with the urgency that it deserves. And we pray. We don't know, but we pray that it will be honored, just as it has been honored in our church and in the other churches of this area. That people will recognize that this is not just something that people can come up with, but that the life that Jesus calls us to is just so different from anything that humans by our own strength and wisdom have concocted, and that the person of Jesus himself is so different than what we would have chosen, what we would have made up if we wanted to have our own God, but that Jesus calls us to an incredible, to an unusual, but to a really satisfying and really quite beautiful life of love for neighbor, for friends, and even for enemies, of sharing our lives for the sake of the people around us, that they might be saved, but also that we might care for them in their needs, as Jesus did so often, to show what the kingdom of heaven is like by our care for people here and now. And the other part of that, living lives for the gospel, is fighting the good fight. And sometimes that's the fight against sin. And sometimes we don't go well in that fight. And sometimes we go very poorly in that fight. And we need to get up and dust ourselves off and say, God, I'm sorry. And then set our eyes on the right path again. But sometimes it is a fight, like not literally that we take up weapons, guns or swords against our enemies, but sometimes there are enemies, people that the enemy raises up against us, as they did for Paul here. And sometimes we need to stand up in the face of these enemies and continue to proclaim the good news regardless. And so that's why these two things that Paul asked for, they mesh together. That one, the word of God will spread through what they're doing, and that the enemies of this word will not win. The enemies of the people spreading this word will not win, but that the word will spread regardless, and that God's will be done. And so I think that's a pretty significant prayer. Even if it, like I said, even if it owes a lot to the Lord's Prayer, even if it might not be groundbreaking ideas that Paul has come up with here, they're still very important things for us to pray for one another and for other Christians. And something else I think is very significant about this prayer is that Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray for him. And I think that alone is interesting. We know that Paul spent a lot of time in prayer. So many of his letters open with him saying about how much he prays for the people of the churches that he's writing to. We know that Paul spent a lot of time praying for these churches that he's planted, and even for some of the churches that those churches planted, even though he didn't have any physical contact with them himself. As soon as he heard about the churches starting in these places, he started praying for them. Like Jesus, Paul was a man of prayer. He spent a lot of time in prayer. And yet, although he most likely would have been praying himself that the word would spread from him and his helpers, that he would have been praying himself that they would be delivered from their enemies, still, he asked the Thessalonians to pray with him as well. It kind of seems like numbers matter in prayer. That it's a good thing for more people to be praying for something. We see a similar thing in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus goes to pray. And if there was anyone that you'd think that just in and of themselves could get anything that they wanted in prayer, it would be Jesus. And yet when he went off to pray, he asked his disciples to stay awake and to pray for him. It was significant that he wanted the disciples, the others around him, to be praying. So why should it matter that more people pray? Why does God care how many people are praying? Do we need to hit some kind of magical number and then whatever it is we're praying for, God will click his fingers and it'll happen, no matter what it is we're praying for? I don't think that's it, but I think God does want us to not just be praying for ourselves, but to be asking others to pray for us. And likewise, when others ask us, to be praying for them, to be reminded that the Christian life, the Christian walk, is about far more than what we're doing. When we pray for others, we're reminded that we aren't the only ones out here who are sharing the gospel with the world. We aren't the only ones who are representing Jesus in our communities. We aren't the only ones who are occasionally facing opposition for the sake of the gospel. It reminds us we're part of something much bigger. The work that Jesus is doing by his Spirit through his church across the whole world. And so that can be an incredibly humbling thing, but it can also be a very encouraging thing. And so God wants us to pray in numbers and to be praying for one another as a reminder that we're all in it together, as I'm sure we're getting sick of hearing that saying these days. But what we're in together is much more significant than just surviving a virus. But what we're all in together is bringing the good news of eternal life to a world broken and in darkness. And that's a wonderful thing to be all in on. And so I'd encourage us to be praying for other churches around us, that they might be faithful in their witness, that we might be an encouragement to them as they are to us, and that we might together cause God's name to be honored and to be known in this area. And also, how much time do we spend praying for the persecuted church, the churches throughout parts of Africa and the Middle East and in China and North Korea? How often do we pray for the church in these places? These places where there's terrible opposition to the gospel, the likes of which we haven't seen. It's a good thing for us to remember to pray for one another. And so, having asked for that prayer, Paul goes on further. He moves on from that prayer, and having reminded himself at the end of that of what God has done for the Thessalonians, when he mentioned that, "May the message of the Lord spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you." And he reminds himself of how the Thessalonians heard the message and received it. And he expresses his confidence that likewise, the Lord will see that his will is done. Paul has confidence. And when we look at the lack of faith that the foes of his enemy has, it leads him to remind himself that by contrast, the Lord that we serve is faithful. And so he says of God and his confidence that God will answer this prayer, but the Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Now that's a bit curious. In some respects, we might expect Paul to say there, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen us and protect us from the evil one. After all, that's what he's just asked them to pray for, that he would strengthen them in spreading the gospel, that he would strengthen their resolve so that the word of the Lord may spread, that they would protect him from, that God would protect him from these enemies. But instead he expresses his confidence that God would do these things not just for him, but for them, the Thessalonians. Paul knows that the church he's asking for prayer from is also going through persecution. He knows that the church that he's writing for prayer from are really in the same boat as he is, that they're struggling in their efforts to spread the good news. And so even in just asking for these things from the Thessalonians, it leads Paul to express his confidence that God will answer this prayer, not just for Paul and his companions, but for the Thessalonians as well. Paul has great confidence that God will do exactly what he's asking them to pray for. That he will strengthen them to spread that gospel. That he will protect them and deliver them from their enemies. Paul had confidence in what he asked them to pray for. He knew that God likes to answer these sorts of prayers, but he still asked anyway. Because prayer is important, because of that way it binds us together, and because of the way that it helps us to recognize our dependence on God, and to remind us that the reason that we're doing all of these things, sharing the gospel, enduring persecution, is for God, for the sake of his kingdom. It keeps our eyes in the right place. And so because of all this, Paul notes his confidence that the Thessalonian church will stand. The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Paul has great confidence in the Thessalonian church. But did you notice where that confidence was placed? We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we command. Now, on Sunday mornings, I come in quite early to the church to get everything ready, to get everything prepared. But I have great confidence that before church is started, my kids will be there, that they'll be well-dressed, that they'll have had their breakfast, that they'll be all ready for church. Now, I have that confidence not because I trust the kids to do all of those things left to their own devices, but I have confidence that all those things will happen because I trust Louise, and I trust that she'll make sure all of those things happen. And in the same way, Paul might have some confidence that the Thessalonians are tracking in the right way, but ultimately his confidence that God's will be done in Thessalonica is not based in the Thessalonians, but that confidence is based in Jesus, that Jesus, this is his mission, and we're just invited along for the ride. And although we're called to be faithful and we should strive to be faithful, ultimately the success of the mission will depend not on us, but on Jesus. So Paul encourages them to trust, that you can trust that God's will be done. We can pray this prayer that God's will be done, that the message of God will go out, and that the church will stand against persecution, trusting that it's a prayer that God loves to answer. And then, as we get to the close of this short passage, and Paul closes this passage again with a blessing, with one of these statements starting with this, with the word may. May God do this among us. May God do that among us. We've had the last couple of passages we've looked at have ended with a blessing like that. And this one is no different. And this is the blessing that he says. May the Lord Jesus direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. He calls that God will direct, that he will make straight the paths in that word's original sort of context, that he will make straight the paths of their heart, that he will direct their hearts into two things, into God's love, that they will know God's love for them. They will direct their hearts that they will know God's love for them. And when we know how much God loves us, it inspires us to love back. And when we know how much God loves us, it drives us to that life that Paul was talking about before, that hope, that thing that they were praying for, that we go and we spread the good news of this one who loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son. God's love is what should drive us to mission, not duty, that it's what we're supposed to do, not fear that we're not proper Christians if we don't, but to share the one who loves us and to share the love that makes such a difference to us. When we know God's love, it makes us want to love others as God has loved us. So Paul asks that their hearts will be directed into God's love, that they will know his love, but then that they will spread his love, and in so doing that they will spread the good news of the kingdom of God. And the second thing is that their hearts will be directed into Christ's perseverance. And how much did Christ persevere for us? He persevered all of the flaws and the pains and the struggles of human existence, the pain of being hungry, the struggles of sickness and of poor health, how hard it is sometimes to wake up and get out of bed on a cold morning. All of these hard parts of life that Jesus would never have known if he'd spent all of his eternity in heaven. But instead he came to earth, took on and became human, fully God and fully human, so that he experienced our struggles, our heartaches. He experienced the loss of friends and the pain of the rejection of the people around him who should have accepted him, who should have recognized him. And then he endured a shameful, a humiliating, and an unbelievably agonizing death. And on top of all of those things, he endured the punishment of God as it was poured out on all of our sins, sins that had been taken from us and put on that cross, that Jesus had drawn those sins onto himself and been judged by God as a result. And the good news is that having endured all of that, God exalted him to the highest place, raised him from the dead, raised him to heaven, and gave him the name above all names. And we will worship Jesus for what he has done through all of eternity. But it started with incredible perseverance. And God calls us, Paul calls us in this blessing, into that perseverance that will enable us to keep sharing our faith no matter what happens, that will enable us to face persecution without wilting and falling away, because we know that he endured far worse for us, and we know that he will not let any of our hardships happen for nothing, but that his good purposes will be done through them. And so that's where Paul closes with this short passage, this short call to the Thessalonians, because it's quite easy to want God's will to be done out there in the world. And so he brings it home into the hearts of the Thessalonian church. And so may God's will be done there in your hearts. We might want God's will to be done out there in the world around us, but do we want it done in us? That's the question. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray for us, your church, in this place in Birdwood, your Birdwood United Church, and for those who might not be part of our church, but that have tuned into this message. May your message, the good news of great joy, of eternal life and forgiveness of sins and the taking away of this broken world and the remaking of all things in Christ Jesus. May this good news sound out from us. May your message spread rapidly. And although we can't control this, when we manage to work up the nerve and to share your message, Lord, may it be honored by those around us who see it as it is, as the Word of God, as something that brings life through the Spirit. And Lord, we don't face great persecution yet, but we know there's plenty of it around in the world. Lord, we pray that you'll help our brothers and sisters around the world who are being faithful to you and who are facing incredible trials because of that. We pray that they may be delivered from evil and from wicked and evil people. We pray that you might set them free from that persecution. And until that time, we pray that you will help them to stand firm, that you will help them to be reminded of your sufferings and all that you went through, and to be able to stand knowing in their hearts God's love and Christ's perseverance. And likewise, should persecution come here, we'll pray quite fervently that you take it from us. And then until that time comes, Lord, we pray that you might prepare us to be ready to be able to stand in that perseverance of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the churches around us, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church. We pray for the Salem Baptist Church and the Kersbrook Church of Christ and these other churches that we have some fellowship with, that we do some things together with. We pray that each and every one of them might be places where your name is lifted up, where your word is taught, and where people come to saving faith in you, and that in unity with them, that we might together be able to spread the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that it will be honored in our communities. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Amen.